This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, a magnificent Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and oh my goodness, I don't even know where to begin between the questions and the world news and the everything else. First of all, let me just give you a heads up. I'm giving you a heads up right now. Hear me well. About a half hour from now, Brandon Weikert, you know, we've had him on several times before, one of these national security experts. Brandon Weikert is going to be here, and he's going to be discussing what he thinks is coming next week. Next week, according to Brandon, he believes there's a chance the next big war in the Middle East kicks off, and yes, we are involved. You need to be here. About a half hour from now, strap yourself in. Woo, it's going to be a lot to take. Brandon Weikert's going to join us. So that's coming. We're going to talk about so many different things right now. We have to discuss the ongoing criminal enterprise of the United States government. RFK Jr. is out there talking about things. Elon Musk is talking about things. Tim Walz apparently ended his presidential campaign already. He may just not know it yet. A communist is talking about how property damage is no big deal. All that, an ad for the Marines that I'm actually going to play in the opening. We're going to talk about your questions, of course. Somebody wants to talk about the Trump endorsement of Lindsey Graham. Someone's mad at me about talking about abandoning the law. There's so much to get to. All that and green salsa. Salsa verde, Chris, in case you didn't know.
Buenas tardes.
And so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before I do any of that, before we even get into the news of the day, I'm sorry, I have to play something. And I'll actually get to a question about this in a while, probably. But I'm not going to dig through it. Someone said something about how it feels more patriotic now. Everything feels more patriotic now. Now that the American-hating communists are no longer in charge of every single thing, doesn't it in some ways feel like a weight has been lifted off of our shoulders? Even with all the problems, and I know there are problems, we'll talk about them, it's fine. Feels good again, doesn't it? I have a breakfast tomorrow morning with a young man. I'm trying to help out and mentor a little bit. And he lost his dad, he's a wonderful kid. And he gets a hold of me the other day and he says, "Hey, thinking about joining the Marines. I want to talk to you about it." So I'm going to take the breakfast. We're going to talk about it. And it occurs to me that for the longest time, I've told you under Joe Biden, when they turned our military into this, you know, America-hating bunch of gay crap, that I told you my sons are not joining that. My sons are not going to get dragged into some war under these demons who hate their guts. They're not going to do it. They're not joining that. I've told you that for how long? They're not. That's what I've said. It occurs to me that tomorrow morning I'm very likely going to tell this young man to do it. And you want to know why? Because, well, J.D. Vance, credit to him, it's just so awesome having J.D. there, did the voice work for the new ad for the United States Marines. This is the kind of organization my young men can join.
We care about excellence and we care about patriotism. And if you are awesome and you are a patriotic Marine, then we are going to do everything that we can to make you the most lethal fighting force the world has ever seen. And that is what we're doing every single day. No more quotas, no more ridiculous mumbo jumbo, no more diversity training. We believe the real strength and the real diversity in the United States Marine Corps is that you all come from every walk of life, come from every corner of America, and you have got the strength and the purpose to win the nation's wars, and that is what the Marine Corps is going to do, just like it's done for damn near 250 years.
Good grief, I'm going to sign up myself. That's what I'm talking about. That's what young men want. That's what the 17-year-old stud who wants to serve his country, no matter where he is, Iowa, L.A., New York, Montana, the 17-year-old stud on the football team, the wrestler, the beast, that is what he wants to sign up and join. Gosh, that's so freaking sweet. Okay, I just had to get that out of the way. I'm sorry, I have to do it. Let it eat, baby. Now, let's move on to the questions, shall we? Before we get to the government looting, I'm going to wait on the government looting for just a little bit, just because I'm so worried about Brandon Weikert's about to tell us in about a half hour. Jesse, this is about the Lindy, and the guy calls it the Lady Graham endorsement. That's not nice. Jesse, Trump isn't stupid. At least he doesn't seem to be, but I'm 100% positive Trump knows almost every normal human being knows Lady Graham is worthless. That being said, Trump will need him for more than a few critical votes when we have those two hags from Alaska and Maine. My gut tells me the corrupt Supreme Court will rule against us on deportation, and it also tells me Trump will do what you suggest and defy the court. He will need Lady Graham to corral the rhinos so they don't abandon him. What do you think? Okay. Well, first of all, Trump's not stupid. Okay. Stupid people think Trump is stupid. Trump is a very crafty, very savvy human being. Trump's not dumb. Trump is transactional, no question about that, but he's not dumb. As far as your theory on, hey, I need to keep Lindsey Graham right beside me to make sure that he can look out for me for when I have to defy the Supreme Court, this is actually exactly my problem with the entire thing. The times we've seen so far when we have critically needed Lindsey Graham to defy the system and fight with us, pretty much every single time he has sided with the system instead of us. Instead of us. This is my issue with it. I understand that they have something going. Maybe they're just personal friends. I don't know. And so I get the Trump-Graham love fest. Apparently, I'm just going to understand that I don't understand it, whatever it may be. But this is my problem with it. This is my problem with it is Lindsey Graham kneecaps Trump. Kneecaps our efforts. Lindsey Graham. Again, I tell you, when I think things, when I have a theory or when I know something, I know this. Lindsey Graham was on Capitol Hill as quietly as possible because he didn't want to make Trump angry. As quietly as possible, Lindsey Graham was trying to end Pete Hegseth's nomination. Donald Trump's personal choice for Secretary of Defense, Lindsey Graham was on Capitol Hill. It was a whisper campaign because he knew he couldn't say it too loud without making Trump mad. But Lindsey Graham was privately working the room trying to stop Trump's SecDef. And 2 minutes later, Trump endorses him. That's what frustrates me. Jesse, now this, I wanted to get to this. Now, I wanted to recap what I said before I get to this guy's email, because his subject is your advocacy of lawlessness. Jesse, did you ever see A Man for All Seasons? No, I didn't see that. Do you like the U.S. Patriot Act? No, it's the disgusting commie act. Should I keep going? What would please the communists more than our following your advice to cast out laws? It would be the lighting of the fire that could not be contained, the end of our freedom. Okay, I understand what you're saying. But Let's do this. Okay, let's set it up this way. Let's say Jewish producer Chris and I go into business together, which would be a terrible decision on my part, but let's say Let's say Jewish producer Chris and I go into business together, okay? And we have a contract. We have a contract, right? A contract. And the contract states the money that's in our business. We sell cheeseburgers. Kosher, Chris. We sell cheeseburgers. And the money that is in our business stays in the business. You don't pull any money out of it. That's in the contract. Chris starts pulling money out of the business. He's violating the contract. Now, no matter what I do next, no matter what I do, this is already a terrible, terrible situation. And nothing I do will make the situation okay. Chris is illegally violating the contract and hurting the business. No matter what comes next, the situation is bad and won't ever not be bad, all right? So just brew on that for a moment and we'll come back to it. Before we come back to that, I want to come back to you because you know what I washed down my cheeseburgers with? A male vitality stack every day. Actually, I just told you a lie. That's not true. It's breakfast tacos because you know I have mine for breakfast. You watch. This is going to happen to you. You're going to get a subscription to a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack from Chalk, natural herbal supplements. You're going to get hooked. It's going to be about two, three weeks. Your energy level is just going to be so good. You're going to feel good. You'll know exactly what I mean. And then you're going to have what I have. You're going to have the old man pill dispenser. Mine's black. With the, you know, all 7 days of the week. With my Veil Vitality stack in it. Ob makes fun of me to this day. I sit down, I eat my breakfast, and right beside it, cup of coffee, Male Vitality stack. Down the hatch, I get to feel like $1 million. Good mood all the time. You want to feel like that? Naturally. That's what Chalk's all about. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you a huge discount on subscriptions. Try it. Give it a month or two. You're going to thank me. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, I don't think we need to be beating the war drums like this, okay? Or wait a minute, I guess that's a protest song. In case you're wondering, Jewish producer Chris and I, and I'm assuming Corey, but I can hardly see him today, which is really kind of a blessing. We're a little bit concerned about what Brandon Weikert's about to tell us all in about 10 minutes from now. So, again, you're going to want to strap in for that. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So this guy wrote in, and it's a smart email. He's got an opinion. It's fine. He wasn't rude or anything like that. The subject was my advocacy of lawlessness, and he's referencing that I said Trump needs to now, he has to begin to find the judges. We don't have time for this. If we can't deport barbarians, if judges have the authority to stop us, if even the law, if the Constitution, if anything has the ability to stop us from deporting barbarians, then the country's already finished. Then the law shouldn't even be there. The Constitution shouldn't be there. If we're not allowed to deport barbarians, then we're not even a country anymore. And so this stuff, honestly, it just doesn't work.
And we hope this court system that's become so active all of a sudden in trying to protect some very, very bad people of crime, they have to stop. They have to let us do the job. We were elected to do the job. They shouldn't be interfering in that. It's a very sad thing that's gone. Nobody can even believe it. They'd rather have them stay in our country. These are murderers in many cases and people about as bad as we've ever seen. And they have to let us do the job. They have to let Cash and Pam and everybody else do their job.
They have to let us do the job. But they're not going to let you do the job. And so back to my little analogy I used. If Jewish producer Chris and I go into business, Jesse's Cheeseburgers, and we have a contract, it's signed, it's official, that neither of us are allowed to pull money out of the business. But then Chris just decides he's going to ignore the contract and starts pulling money out of the business. Well, now we're in a situation that is bad, not of our making, not of my making, and I have to make a decision. What do I do? I have to start pulling money out of the business. I can't just let Chris pull all the money out of the business. Then I have no money left and the business goes under. If we're in a situation where the contract has been willingly broken by the other side, then I have no choice but to engage. And I know it's a bad choice. I know it violates my contract to pull money out of the business. I have no choice. The American communists have used our values against us. They've manipulated us. They've manipulated courts and laws and even the Constitution itself to justify the mass importation of foreign barbarians for decades into this country. We are now in a situation that is dire. I know we are feeling good right now and we're pointing towards the right direction. Our situation is dire. The contract has already been broken. You can say, like you said here, it would be the lighting of the fire that couldn't be contained. The fire's out of control. The fire's already out of control. It's already not contained. The American president created an app so foreigners can just invade our country using an app on their phone that you paid for. Joe Biden sued so he didn't have to build the border wall that was the law, and then before Trump could take over, they sold off the materials. I know people who want to believe we're in a different era. People who believe in the law and the Constitution, in rules, in the courts. I know that it's really, really, really hard to accept where we are as a country. It's going to sound unrelated, but it is not. Roe versus Wade got overturned by the Supreme Court. The communists got mad about it. And in response to a Supreme Court decision they didn't like, they decided to dig up an old obscure law so they could justify arresting pro-life activists. The law? What law? We can't contain it anymore. It's not contained. It's not. I know we want to believe that if we just kind of stay within the rules and look, if we have to abide by the law, and then there's no more law. That country's not here anymore. And I'm not celebrating that. I think that our situation right now is awful. I hope I haven't given you the impression that I'm happy about this. I'm horrified. I'm disgusted. And yeah, it's that quote. Chris just brought it up, that famous quote we talk about all the time. Pompey Magnus of Rome flat out said to somebody, someone, as he and his gang of thugs, they were beating up on somebody, someone told him it was against the law. And Pompey looked at him in disgust and said, do not quote laws to men with swords. I know we don't want to live in an era where it's men with swords. I don't want to live in that. You don't want to live in that. I didn't get that choice. Neither did you. What if they then violate the law? That's all they do. If we are in a situation where we can't deport barbarians, the country's already finished. That's it. Period. And by the way, Brandon Weikert's about to say some things about what he thinks is coming next week. You really need to make sure that you have taken care of your finances. I'm not talking about making more money. There's nothing you can do about that. I'm sure you're doing what you can do. What have you done to ensure that the money, your 401k, your retirement, whatever you have, what have you done to ensure it won't be wiped out if there are disturbances in the market? You know, April 2nd's coming too, next week. That's the officially tariff day. What have you done? Call Gold Co. before next week. It's Friday. They're working. 855-817-GOLD. Get a hold of them. Go to jessielikesgold.com. The time is now, like before Monday. jessielikesgold.com, okay? 855-817-GOLD. At least talk to them and find out what they can do. Brandon Weikert's going to make us all sad and depressed. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Chris, that's a good song. I don't know why you're dogging on it. That's a good song. Joining me now, the man who chose that song, which Chris is dogging on, Brandon Weikert, Senior National Security Editor for the National Interest. Okay, Brandon, first of all, I'll allow you to defend your music taste really quickly. And also, are we going to attack Iran?
Well, the first thing is, it's a great song, Chris.
Yes.
I love that song, and that's all I'm going to say on that. And, you know, thanks for sharing that opinion, though. But it is a great song. And then the second thing I'll say is, unfortunately, on a more serious note, it definitely is looking like, at the very least, the Israelis are in the next week going to take some kind of action directed against the Iranians. I only say unfortunately because, you know, it's another war. Obviously, the Iranian regime is not a good regime, and they are a threat to Israel. In terms of what the United States is going to do, we are definitely, as this ridiculous signal gate controversy has shown, we are definitely getting ready to really bust some Houthis, heads together. But there's also, given the assets that we've deployed, notably to Diego Garcia, which is our big staging ground in the Indian Ocean, just south of the Middle East, it definitely looks like we might be planning to do something beyond just hitting the Houthis. We've got about 38% of our entire B-2 Spirit long-range stealth bomber fleet now at Diego Garcia. You don't need that many B-2s to take on the Houthis, but you need them to take on those nuclear facilities, notably in the southern part of Iran, while the Israelis are likely going to hit the northern facilities like Fordo in Iran.
Okay, there's so much to unpack here. You're going to have to bear with me because I have a million questions. Well, I know people have a million questions, as do I. First of all, I want you to dig into this Diego Garcia. I know what it is, but a lot of people do not. What is it? Explain.
It's a major staging ground. We have a base, very large base there. We use that as sort of a midpoint for our forces when they're operating, in Africa, the Middle East, as well as in Asia. It's sort of like the perfect middle area. It's got a massive airfield there. It's got another base there that people don't talk about. There's some capabilities at Diego Garcia that are classified. And it's in the Indian Ocean, and it's just south of Iran and the Persian Gulf. So it is a perfect sort of staging ground if you're planning to do strikes directed against the Houthis in Yemen, which is sort of in the southern part of the Middle East, or against targets in southern Iran.
Brandon, please explain to me why this is necessary. And I'm not saying it's not, I'm not arguing against it, but in Israel's eyes, why is it necessary? In our eyes, why is it necessary? Is Iran planning something? Why is it necessary now, I guess I should say?
Well, I think the Israelis feel like their backs are up against a wall. October 7th caught them by surprise. The Hamas, Hezbollah, even Fatah in the West Bank, and definitely the Houthis are all Iranian-backed. I think also Netanyahu thinks this is a window of opportunity that he might not get again. He just helped to collapse the Assad regime, which I actually think was a mistake, but he just helped to collapse the Assad regime in neighboring Syria, which means for the first time in decades, Israeli warplanes have a relatively secure and reliable air corridor to safely fly from Israeli airspace through Syria, through northern Iraq, into northern Iran. And Netanyahu's looking around. He doesn't know how long this situation will last because Syria is so unstable, and he's got to worry about what Hamas is getting ready to do. And he still has to worry about Hezbollah to the north and Lebanon. So striking Iran in the Israeli calculus is you're basically hit, you know, going after the head of the whole body here, which is Iran. For the United States, we have some interest in destroying the Houthis, who are supported by Iran. We certainly do not benefit from having an Iranian nuclear weapons capability. At the same time, though, what I fear is that this is a very bad time to do a war. J.D. Vance was saying this about the Houthis in that Signal app that was released in the Atlantic, where he was saying, you know, we could basically strike the Houthis anytime. Why do we have to do this now? My thought with Iran is we could basically knock out the Iranians anytime. Why do this now? It's going to suck all the oxygen out of Trump's very transformative agenda in D.C. right now, a war in the Middle East will. But ultimately, we are aligned with Israel, and I think Israel is the one that really wants to do this now because they don't think they'll be able to again, and we're going to have Israel's back. And so that means we'll be positioned to knock out the Houthis and possibly even to assist Israel with direct airstrikes against Iranian nuclear facilities.
Okay. Brandon, I hope you have a few minutes for me because
the
more you've educated me, the more questions continue to pop into my mind because I know they pop in the minds of other people. First, I want to actually drill down on something you said because it's nothing for you, but most people don't understand this. I want you to talk about the air corridor for Israel. And what air corridor? People don't make that connection, you know, maps and planes and fuel, and they just don't make that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so basically, you know, Israel is a very small country on the coast of the Eastern Mediterranean. It's got Lebanon right above it, and then right next to it, it's got Syria. And right now, the Syria's open, basically, the airspace. They don't have Assad there. There's no coordinated anti-air capability anymore because Assad is gone. So now Israeli planes can safely fly from Israel over Syria and Iraq and into Iran, whereas before when Assad was there, it was not available.
Okay, now that is actually exactly what I wanted to ask next. Not available. What does not available mean, Brandon? Not available as in we'll send our fighter jets up to shoot you down. Not available as in we have SAMs that will shoot. Surface-to-air missiles will shoot you down. What does not available mean? Because my next question, just to let you know, is going to be about Iran and their ability to take planes out of the sky.
Yeah, well, So the Syria under Assad, they had a fairly comprehensive air defense capability. The moment the Assad regime collapsed, the Israelis basically went in and knocked out all the known anti-aircraft systems that were left abandoned by Assad's army, so that there basically is no capability now to threaten Israeli warplanes if and when they decide to cross using that air corridor. Now, you mentioned the surface-to-air missile and the anti-aircraft defenses of Iran. Those are significantly more comprehensive and advanced than anything Assad had. Yet the Iranians have been shown the Russian S-300 that they were using in October. The Russian S-300 that they were using in October was basically knocked out by Israeli warplanes, and they were able to kind of have escalation dominance over Iran for a period of time. Yet the Russians have, since October, been flooding Iran with more advanced anti-aircraft systems and very well could have the S-400. The Russians are giving the Iranians the Su-35 warplane. They might even be trying to sell them the Su-57, which is Russia's fifth-generation plane, to augment Iranian capabilities to stop an Israeli or even American airstrike. But that's going to take time for Iran to build up, which is why I think also the Israelis want to go now.
Speaking with Brandon Weikert, Brandon, I apologize because I should have asked you this beforehand, but do you by chance have another quick segment for me? Because I have about 50 more questions I'm going to try to squeeze in. Brandon Weikert is going to join us again here in just a moment. I'm sure you have questions. I have questions. Look at how smart we're getting. And we can steal Brandon's knowledge and pass it off as our own all weekend long. Also, you going to cook any meat this weekend? Is your meat you cook this weekend, chicken or steak or a brisket or something like that, if you're made of money, is it going to be made perfectly? You know, cooking to temperature is what all the super stud pitmasters do. I'm not one of those, of course, but they all tell me the same thing. Cook to temperature, cook to temperature, cook to temperature. The Chef IQ made the IQ sense. They'll make it perfect every time. It's a wireless cooking thermometer that you leave in the meat. You put it in right when you throw it on the grill or in the oven or on the smoker, and you never look again. And as they say, if you're looking, you're not cooking. I always get lectured like that. The IQ sense makes sure you're never looking, ever. You look at your phone. Your phone will tell you when it's done perfectly every time. Go get an IQ sense. They come in singles, doubles, triples. ChefIQ.com. Promo code Jesse saves you 15% at checkout. ChefIQ.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, returning with the wealth of knowledge that is Brandon Weichert about all this national security stuff. Okay, where we left off, Brandon, you were talking about Russia providing Iran with anti-air missiles, things like missile defense systems, things like that. You mentioned things like the 300 versus the 400. And here's what I want to know. One, how does all this come into play when we are currently trying to negotiate a Ukrainian-Russian peace at the same time Russia is handing Iran things to shoot down our planes? That's one. And two, are these systems, the 400, is it able to shoot down our planes and or Israel's planes?
Yeah, so the first point is it's going to complicate our ability to get a deal. Now, I was convinced Trump was going to be able to get a deal by now, at least a ceasefire, but I think the Trump administration has unfortunately made a couple of mistakes, and now if they get sucked into this Middle East thing, we're really going to be complicated here getting a deal on Ukraine. At the same time, the Russians, and I wrote about this at the Washington Times about a year ago, The reason Iran is not, you know, every time Israel strikes them over the last year and a half, Iran promises the mother of all retaliations, and then it's kind of not that big of a deal, and everybody's kind of like, what are they talking about? Well, the reason the Iranian retaliations have not been that strong, from what I understand, is that the Putin government has been holding the Iranian government back. They didn't want to see a massive unfettered escalation in the Middle East at the same time the Russians are mired in Ukraine. So the way I see what the Russians are doing is they're trying to, in their mind, restore some semblance of deterrence. They don't want to see their proxy in Iran fall. That's why they're giving them these systems. But at the same time, for the last year, they've really prevented Iran from doing more offensive operations of the kind that the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps has wanted to do. And so there's a window there, if you know that. If you're negotiating with Russia and you're the Trump administration, the window then you say is, okay, the Russians are just trying to basically enhance the defensiveness of Iran. They're not trying to give them significant offensive capacity. So if we don't go too hard against Iran right this second, we can probably put that on ice and get a deal with Ukraine. But if we go hard near term, and I'm hearing from people in Israel, Israel's talking about striking Iran in the next week, which will naturally force us to take on a more aggressive stance against Iran. But if we do that, the downside will be it's probably going to destroy any chance of getting a peace deal.
Oh, well, this is all lovely, but this is why I wanted you to come on, Brandon. I'm going to ask I was about to call it a million-dollar question, but historically, I guess it's a multi-trillion-dollar question. Brandon, let's say the Iranian regime does fall because of Israel's bombs and our bombs and everything. Sure. What is the plan after that?
So this is the issue, and this is, you know, you remember Colin Powell before Iraq. Uh-huh. You break it, you own it. And so I do think we could probably get rid of that regime pretty quickly. Now, we might lose a lot of planes. We might even lose a carrier in the Red Sea if we're not careful. But I think Israel and the United States could destroy that regime in Iran. The problem is what comes after. So I think And Netanyahu sort of said this in August of last year. He's very fond, and I like this guy too, the Shah's grandson, the former king of Iran who was overthrown by the current regime, the Islamist regime in Iran. He has a grandson who lives in Washington, D.C. He's very active, and he's been lobbying hard for the last several years to basically, you know, be brought back into power in Iran. And there is a movement in Iran that wants to see a restoration of the constitutional monarchy that existed before 1979. The problem that I have is, A, I don't know how significant his support is. I worry he could be another Ahmad Shalabi, who was the guy we wanted to hand Iraq to in 2003, and it turned out he didn't really have support, which is why that plan fell apart as soon as we invaded. So my concern is that. My concern also is there are other factions on the ground in Iran that probably do not want to see the king return. And so you're going, and then plus you're going to have, if we topple the Ayatollah and his mullahs, you're going to have elements of the regime that are still well organized that will take on an insurgency role. So you're going to have Iran as a failed state. How do you handle that? I would hope we're not going to seriously think about putting troops on the ground in Iran at any time. You could see Turkey moving troops in, but that's a NATO member. So there's the knock-on effects here are very complicated. And all this means is actually the region is less stable, less safe. And by the way, unfortunately, the Trump agenda at home would be seriously complicated because all of his political momentum would then have to shift from going to Doge and swamp draining in D.C. to then focusing on the Middle East war.
Yeah, I'm sure the American people who roundly put Donald Trump back in the White House to fix inflation and immigration, I'm sure they're going to be doing backflips to just support yet another war in the Middle East. Brandon Weigert, you are the man, brother. Thank you for making us smarter and at the same time making us all feel bad going into the weekend. Brandon, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Look, I just tell you, Jewish producer Chris and I were exchanging some tough looks during that whole thing. This all sounds like a disaster. This sounds like a disaster. And this is the part about foreign policy that is so incredibly difficult. Everybody in the in taking part in all this, I'm talking about the nation states and the different factions, they all kind of have a point, and they all kind of don't, right? Israel wanted Assad gone. That was very understandable. Is the world better off now that Assad is gone and al-Qaeda is taking over Syria? No, that's not good either. Israel wants Iran taken out and views this as a window of opportunity. They're correct about that. The country that talks about wiping them off the planet is now vulnerable. At the same time, does that help the planet if we destabilize another major? Oh my gosh. That's going to be a friggin' mess. And it might be coming next week. So that should be fun. But I tell you what. Let's just have a brief talk about this. We'll get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Let's have a talk about this politically next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.